Welcome everybody to Head to Head Thursday. Scenarios A or B. Chris and I have to come down to one decision to help you see what's coming in the future here today on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, friends and neighbors. We are brought to you today by Blue Nile. Please check them out. It is the place to get your forever piece over at BlueNile.com. There's a lot going on today, and this is a new fun segment we're going to do. We'll start it here on Thursday. We'll see if it stays on Thursdays, but it's head-to-head scenarios, forcing each other into a decision about X factor. We'll probably do one a segment here to begin with, and I'm kind of fired up about this. This is something that we've gotten into a lot of discussions into on the draft show. You can check that out. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and Performance Consulting. I host the Locked On NFL Draft Show with Eric Crocker as well. You can check us out at rogueapc.com or nfl33.com. And this is something that we do over there. I think it's a lot of fun.
And I'm Chris Clark, founder of Chiefs Corner. You can find me over there at Chiefs Corner. And it does sound exciting. It does sound like it's something that's going to be a little bit different and always fun to debate topics. So let's just go ahead and get down into the nitty gritty of it, and I'll let you go ahead and fire away.
Yes, I go first. Okay, I like that. Okay, so scenario. This is head-to-head, either or condition. I know what you're going to do, but try to pick one of these options, okay? that is the exercise. So this is a new quote-unquote offense. It's more of a retooling, a readdressing of how you run this offense rather than something completely new. But it comes down to what we've seen the last couple of years in targets and the way teams choose to defend Patrick Mahomes' offense versus the expertise that one Travis Kelce gets you. So I ask you, head-to-head, either or, does Travis Kelce get 1,300 yards this season, or are there 3,000-yard wide receivers?
Okay, to be clear, you're saying wide receivers. That doesn't include Kelce. You're saying
I'll call it pass catchers because you can include him in those. So saying basically, does he break 1,300 yards, no, or is he somewhere between 1,000 and 13 and there's other guys?
No, that's good. I just wanted to make sure you were saying pass catchers just wide receivers. That might be a little zealous. This is a tough one. I think that Travis Kelce is a very good tight end. I think he has the ability to be able to go over 1,300 yards, but I would have to go 3,000 yards pass catchers. And I just look at this group, and there's a lot more talent on it than there's been in the past. And people are going to look at it and say, well, there's no top-end talent. Yeah, I think that there probably is. I think Juju is probably a better receiver than a lot of people give him credit for, looking at the past 2 years when he was playing with a guy in Ben Roethlisberger that was on his downward turn by far at that point. He's never had a number one guy other than Antonio Brown. And when he had Antonio Brown, he did very well. And I think that number one guy could be Travis Kelce. And I think that there's going to be a surprise. I don't know if it's going to be MVS or it's going to be Hardman, but I do think that there is a third wide receiver that could go over 1,000 yards in this group. So I'm taking the 3,000-yard pass catchers as opposed to 1,300 for Travis. And I think part of that is because I think Travis is going to take another small step back this season.
I like that you put it that way, because you're right. When you take a look at one season to the next, 2021 to 2022, I'm using Mecole Hardman as the Mendoza line. Sky Moore, I don't think you can expect to be more productive than Mecole Hardman. But I think it's very reasonable on a squad last year that had one receiver that was more productive than Mecole Hardman in one Tyreek Hill. I think it's reasonable to assume that both Juju Smith-Schuster and MVS can be more productive than Mecole this season. Now, I hope that Mecole explodes and I'm wrong about that. But even if he just takes a small incremental step, there's still room for both those guys to still outproduce him, in which case that's an improvement for the offense overall. I'm going to take that side as well.
Yeah, and that's the big question is can they outproduce Hardman, who already has 2 years in this offense? Can they step up and be able to take that step for this team? I think they can. So it's going to be something to fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take the 3,000-yard pass catchers because I think that's what has to happen for the offense. If they get stuck in the rut and Travis hits 1,200 yards on the season, they're targeting him too much. And he's winning despite defenses being able to attack him that much. Because if they give him that much attention, I think it's going to be detrimental to the rest of the offense. This offense will be best if they spread the ball out.
And it's detrimental to him. I mean, that's the other part of it that we're not even talking about. Like, I'm not trying to say he's an old man. He's not. But in football years, he is getting up there, and that is going to be something the team has to watch. You cannot replace him, so you don't want to put more pressure on him than you have to.
Yeah, I am totally with you, because when you put pressure on one thing, eventually it will break. It will fail. And you can't afford that to happen with Travis Kelce. He is too big a piece of this offense, and quite frankly, of this whole roster. So, like, he is the one part that you can't have fail this season. You can get some other parts that fail that maybe produce sometimes and maybe don't. And if you have to replace those parts, I know where you can do that on your automobile. It's over at rockauto.com. Just like I'm doing right now, shout out to all the diesel mechanics in Denver for helping me this week. They're getting parts probably not from Rock Auto, but if I was doing the work, that's where I would get them, because you can save over the dealerships and over the chain stores. You can save even above 100%, meaning that you pay less than half of what you would pay at that chain store that only gives you a certain amount of product in a certain number of manufacturers. They're family business. They've been in business 20 years, and they treat you just like they treat everyone else. That's the best part of it. You can find every part that you need, from brake lights to backup cameras, which I did just buy, by the way, as well as a number of other things that go into your automobile. And all you got to do is throw them all in your cart, go to checkout, and when you get there, put Locked On in the box that says, "How did you hear about us?" And you are set to roll to get all your parts sent to you directly. And you get to enjoy amazing selection, reliably low prices, and every part your car or truck could ever need at rockauto.com.
I chuckle at you when you say that about your getting the backup camera, because with you getting ready to move, I can see how that could definitely become an in handy.
It's going to be painful. It's not going to be here in time for the move. So that's the problem.
Yeah, well, there you go. Not shocking there. And I can only imagine what it's like paying sticker shock prices of diesel gas in that truck. So have fun with that. Let's get back to this. And I liked your subject for Kansas City Chiefs, you know, for, you know, the pass catchers. I'm going to throw a little bit of a wrinkle in here, and I'm going to go in a position. And I want to clarify this just a little bit. And let's get into this first. How many starters do you think really count on this roster? I know you normally have 22. Mm-hmm. Would you count a third receiver? Would you count a third corner? Would you count?
In terms of, like, flexibility, yes, I would count a third wide receiver. I would count a third safety and a nickel corner. So 25 starter level players that you need.
So not two tight ends, not, okay. So that's kind of where I'm going with this question. I want to ask you, and this is really what I'm trying to figure out. This team has been built with veteran players. Mm-hmm. It has been constantly veteran players for most of Andy Reid's career in Kansas City. That is not really going to be something that they can continue to do this year, I don't think. So either or, Kansas City has 21 veteran players that are starters, or they have 5 or 6 rookies that are starters.
Ooh. Getting to the 5 threshold is the question.
Yep.
I think they confidently have 4 in that 25 starter level players that I'm talking about.
And now you see why I qualified that before we got into this conversation.
But that said.
And I guess I should clarify, by year end.
By year end. Okay. That does make a difference.
Yep.
So that said, I'm going to take the over. I'm going to say, yes, they get 5 contributing rookies at starter level, and they will be Kennard, who I think will end up playing early in the season prior to any return by Lucas Niang, depending on his health. It will be Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis, the 2 number ones. It will be Brian Cook. He will play significant snaps. Now, the question becomes is, where do you make that line of delineation for what is significant? Because I think Sky Moore will get more reps as the season goes on. But where does he become that starter level guy? Where is he the third wide receiver in terms of snap count? I think it's going to be very close to see whether he gets there or not. But I'm going to say that he does at about game 13.
And maybe I should change it to six, because now that I think about it, I think that there is another person that you're not even thinking about.
Oh, I'm getting there. I'm not done.
Okay.
I was going to Chanel next. Don't worry about it.
Okay. There you go.
Because that's going to be the big question. And it is going to come down to, do they get enough pass rush with the guys that they have at the defensive line positions? Or do they have to supplement with Leo Chanel? Because if they have to supplement, that ups his snap count to the level of being in that count. But so if it is six, then no, I don't think that they do.
I would argue that he's going to be a starter if you look at the base. And I think that that's how you have to look at it. I don't think you look at it in a
Yeah, but they only play base like 36% of the time.
Yeah, but that's who they're going to be going out there with against a lot of people. So that's how I would look at it. Otherwise, you're going to be getting into situations where you don't have that linebacker counted as a starter, so it makes it 24, not 25.
Okay. All right. So do you think that they get to six?
I do. Yeah, I think that they do. I think that Sky Moore is going to be a guy that, as the year goes on, gets to a point where he gets close to, if not leading Mecole Hardman in snaps towards the end of the season. Unless Hardman takes a whole huge step forward in progression, because that's what we haven't seen from him.
Let's go,
in Mecole. His time in Kansas City.
Let's go.
And that's, they absolutely need it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say he can't play. I'm just saying they need him to take a step forward. If he takes a step forward, this is basically a contract year. This is his fourth year. I apologize. I said third earlier. This is his fourth year. So something you got to watch there. And to me, I think that they could get to six. I think that if you're counting, you know, obviously you're going to have Karlaftis, you're going to have McDuffie, and you're going to have Cook, I believe. You also are going to have Chanel, because I think that if you're looking at it from a 4-3 base, I think you have Chanel in that category. And then you have Kennard and you have Moore. And yeah, I think that they're going to get there. And the reason I point this out is because it's so much different than what Andy Reid has done in his past teams.
I mean, what did we have last year? We had Creed and Bolton, that played significant snaps, clearly at starter level, because they
Trey Smith.
Trey Smith as well. That was maybe a little bit, at this point in last offseason, maybe that was hard to see from here. So I could even count Trey Smith as a surprise, maybe. Yep. So are there enough surprises on this year's roster to do the same thing? That's what becomes the question.
I think so. Mainly because they had to get rid of so many older players, and they had to get rid of so many guys that had been, you know, contributors for them in the past.
Okay.
So
I like it. So you're going over. I'm going under.
Yeah, well, I'm going at six. So I'll go at six.
I'm going at 4.5 and five with a
4.5?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. You go with your 4.5. I will allow it on this one. And I do want to tell you guys, thank you for watching. We do appreciate it. Go subscribe and, you know, go check us out on YouTube if you haven't already. Go subscribe. Go hit the notification bell so you know when we do new videos. I want to tell you about our friends over at the NBA Draft, or over at the NBA channel. You need to check this out. One live NBA Draft show is not enough for Locked On. The entire NBA channel is going live on NBA Draft night. So if you have a favorite NBA team, make sure you subscribe now to their Locked On YouTube channel so you get notified when they go live on NBA draft night. You know, maybe somebody like the Oklahoma City Thunder. Just kind of gonna throw that out there. It's coming up. And then I also want to make sure I tell you about our friends over at Built Bar. You absolutely need to check these bars out if you haven't yet. They are absolutely fantastic. They have a new bar that's coming out right now. Oh, this isn't actually new. This is one of our past favorites, the coconut brownie chunk. And this one's a puff. And this one's a puff. So it's a little different. There you go, Ryan. One of your favorites coming back as a puff. From the people who invented healthy and tasty comes the greatest gift to your taste buds. You probably tried the amazing coconut brownie chunk Built Bar, which is Ryan's favorite. But guess what? Your friends at Built Bar have given you the coconut brownie chunk puffs treat.
Does that mean it's coconut marshmallow? Is that what that means?
That's right. The coconut brownie chunk Built Bar flavor you love in a deliciously chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. Stop drooling and listen. They are good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and all very delicious. All Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently. It provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. Delicious coconut, rich sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing and go to built.com right now to order your box of coconut brownie chunk Built Puffs right now. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order at built.com.
Wow. Before I ask this last question, just got news. For those of you that are fans of Hard Knocks or followed the Baltimore Ravens in particular, Tony Siragusa has passed today. Out of the blue at 55 years old. I was always a fan of Goose. I thought he was honest, and he put up with Ray Lewis and Shannon and was like the calming factor. I know he could get a little crazy too, but just to see that roll across my screen here a couple seconds ago, just want to say rip to Tony Siragusa, huh? Hug your loved ones while you can, folks. That's all I'm going to say. Well, and Goose will be the first to tell you, and Goose will be the first to tell you got to get to the quarterback. So that's what my question's about. It comes down to what can this Chiefs team do this season? And it's not necessarily who. I'm past caring about who's going to be the sack leader or who's going to be the pressure leader or who's going to come out of the blue, who's going to take this step forward. I don't care at this point. The Chiefs have to be better at their pass rush. They have to produce more pressure by at least, say, 20 pressures on the season. And they have to get to the quarterback and sack them more. My question to you, is Chris Jones it? Is that all we get? And a little bit of pressure from maybe Carl Loftus, and they fall either short or they're right at where they were last season? Or can they take a step forward and produce pressure at a better clip, say 80 pressures on the season, maybe 40 sacks on the season? Can they get to that threshold, either or?
I apologize. I don't have the stats in front of me right now. What were their pressures at last year?
I think it was 68. I'll have to look.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say that yes, they can hit that threshold. And the reason I think they can hit that threshold is because I think Carl Loftus is going to get to the quarterback. I think he's going to help give them pressure. You know, Melvin Gordon stepped into this Chiefs team last year, and he didn't. Pressure really wasn't his game. He helped things out. He was able to get pressure at times on the quarterback, but he didn't produce sacks. He wasn't a huge sack guy. He wasn't a huge pressure guy. He just was a solid all-around DN, and that really helped this organization. So to me, I think they're upgrading in the pass rush area, and I think that Frank Clark is going to also have a little bit of something to say because he's playing for a new contract at this point. He will not have – this is a contract year for him. He's got to go out and get money. If he's going to get a contract, it's going to be based on this contract year for him. I think that they're going to get above the 80 pressure threshold. And to be clear, I do want to say I'm not going to say it just comes from the defensive line. I think that they're going to be doing other things that's going to help create that pressure as well.
Well, and that goes back to what I'm saying, that, you know, it's not – I don't care where it comes from. You know, they may end up blitzing Legarius a lot. I don't know. If I know Spags – that's probably what's going to happen, even though I'd rather see it be Chanel or Willie or Nick. But it's about affecting the quarterback, and that's what it has to come down to. They have to improve at that. There's no way around it, and that's my concern. And I asked this question knowing that I don't have a good answer. I was really waiting to see what you thought because I just can't get a feel for it. It is dark out there for me.
The other thought that I will say, and I think this also is going to play into it, is how many games did Chris Jones really play last year where he was anywhere close to 100%? And I know players are never 100%, but he was injured for a lot of the first part of the season last year, and I think that really hurt their pressure early on.
Yeah, I won't blame you thinking that. That's a very good point. You know, they were, they're 29th in sack production. On the flip side, they were 20th in passes defensed production. So I do take that as a positive. They put more off-season resources into the secondary. So if that pushes that much farther and that can slow down the passing game of the average opponent, obviously Tom Brady's going to get it out when he gets it out. That's just the way it's going to go.
Right.
Where were they? They actually hit the quarterback at the 20th rate as well. So the only thing they didn't do is finish. I mean, if you think 20th in the league at pressure rate is good enough, which I think it's right on the borderline of being good enough to get them the next step and stop teams like the Bengals or the Bills that they're going to have to face in the AFC Championship, I think that's probably good. I think that having that low a finish percentage in sacks, when you got 91 hits on the quarterback, you only got 31 sacks. So you were touching him as he got rid of the ball. Like, it's that hair of a close. Like, that is like, what is that, 25% completion sack rate. That's tough. That's low. So even natural regression towards the mean gives you a few percentage points, 8-9 more sacks there. So if they can do that, it might be enough.
I'm glad you said it that way, because our buddy Seth Kaiser actually just tweeted out something a couple hours ago from when we were recording this, and it was, he put out a clip of Josh Allen missing a throw in the AFC Championship, or sorry, not in the AFC Championship game, the game leading into the AFC Championship game. And it was caused because Chris Jones got pressure. Mm-hmm. Chris Jones on the 3rd and 3 got pressure in Allen's face, made him miss the throw, didn't go down as a sack. And his point was, it's not just sacks. And I know you know that. I know that. But you have to realize, you can't just look at that number. Pressure does matter. And in that scenario, regardless of how they would score it, as long as you score the pressure, you're not going to see the end result of the play. The end result of the play was an incomplete pass, and it was an incomplete touchdown pass, let alone, because Jones got in Allen's face and made him miss the throw. So pressure changes everything. Yes, it would be better if they finished and they got sacks, but if you could get pressure to where you're getting pressure, you know, even more pressure than you've been getting in the past, you're going to be in a better scenario, because players generally aren't going to make plays if they've got pressure in the face all the time.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's what it comes down to. And folks, that's why when you see us talk about pressures, especially when I track all the statistics, it's about two things. It's not just one number. Boiling pass rush down to one number is a misnomer, and I think it's misleading at times. People will say the Chiefs had the 29th best pass rush in there, except as we've just shown, they're actually getting the quarterback better than that. They're better than 12 other teams in the league, so that's not, you know, right home about, but that is significant.
It's not great, but it's better than league abysmal.
And that's why I always put pressure rate and finish rate. Because you can adjust one, have better luck at finishing and actually getting sacks with producing the same amount of pressure. They're next to each other, but I don't think it's a causality loop there. Getting that pressure puts you in position to finish, and that's what it comes down to. Hopefully they can do a better job this year. Let me know what you think, though, you folks. Of all of these decisions, what did you think of our either ors? Let us know in the comments on YouTube, in the reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Put it all there. Let us know what you think. We appreciate you listening to us. Give us ideas. We're going to start probably back at a mailbag coming up here pretty soon. We want to hear from you. You can reach us at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter. That's the easiest way. You can also reach out at Chiefs Corner on that Substack, on NFL 33, on Rogue APC, wherever you like. You can find us on Twitter at the normal spots. Thank you for listening to us today. We'll be back with you tomorrow with more Chiefs action.